Up next, a contemporary artistic take on Lachlan Macquarie, the early Governor of New South Wales. Very ambitious guy, Governor Macquarie. During his tenure between 1810 and 1821, he took a strong interest in the expansion of the new colony. And it was during his time in office that the Blue Mountains, west of Sydney, were officially crossed by white explorers. Well, artist Tim Miller has for a very long time been fascinated by what this land might have looked like to those first English explorers. And so he began a wonderful series of paintings.
Well, I'm looking across a fairly rugged piece of country out across the Abercrombie River. And where the river is, I have plumes of smoke coming up where small groups may be living in the early morning. There's a bit of rain just starting to come across on the left. I used Oxley's journals, Macquarie's journals, Evans' notebooks to try and recreate how it may have been.
From several of the hills over which our route led us, we had the most extensive and beautiful prospects. From 30 to 40 miles around, from the north to the south, the country was broken in irregular low hills, thinly studded with small timber and covered with grass. The whole landscape within the compass of our view was clear and open, resembling diversified pleasure grounds. The animation of the whole scenery was greatly enhanced by the smoke of native fires in every quarter.
From John Oxley's journal of 1817, which inspired Tim to paint many of his images.
It's been west of the mountains that I've been looking at. It's not just Bathurst, it's sort of basically out to Wellington, out where Oxley went, out to Hay, along the Lachlan River and back again. I've had my mind in the past, even when I'm driving around, consciously not noticing what's there. I'm looking at the shape of the land and looking around in the ground, trying to find where people may have been.
The Macquarie era was the great era of early exploration. It was when some of the most substantial discoveries and breakthroughs were made.
Professor David Andrews from the University of New England has closely studied the history of this region west of the mountains.
I think people had been trying to get across the Blue Mountains for many years, and perhaps some actually had. But it was the famous and much publicised crossing of the mountains by Wentworth and Company in 1813 that sort of really literally or supposedly opened the west to the colonists, even though they themselves didn't actually make it all the way across the mountains. But in the wake of that expedition, a number of well-known explorers were sent out west to see what basically lay beyond the mountain. What they were looking for was largely open pastoral land with lots of grass and lots of water. And so what they found around Bathurst and beyond seemed very, very promising.
This is also where the Tablelands Way road now goes. Incidentally, one of the things that I've been finding out is that a lot of our roads are actually pathways that have been there for thousands and thousands of years. I've tried to perceive these pathways, how they may have been.
There's no doubt that the first explorations and the carving of the first routes across the Blue Mountains definitely followed Aboriginal pathways. In fact, I'd be quite sure that Wentworth and Blaxland Lawson, the famous three explorers, actually had Aboriginal guides with them.
In Reflection 1819, a view across Burraburra, Gundungurra and Wiradjuri Pathway, Tim has painted a mesmerising late afternoon scene. Dense bush and undulating mountains as far as the eye can see, seemingly impenetrable. Yet faint plumes of smoke rise from the valley floors. The foreground is slightly cleared, where one sees the beginning of a rough track.
This is the pathway that Oxley and Big followed from Bathurst to meet Macquarie at Lake Bathurst in 1820. Evans described the view across Bathurst as being very green or verdant, would make good grazing land. it had been made like that, I would think, by people over thousands of years and who'd had farmed it for thousands of years and who had their own similar farm spaces that people have today. But we haven't been taught to see it that way anyway. We've been told people were nomadic, but people had their own specific spaces to live.
Certainly the arrival of Europeans in that area, particularly in the 1820s when settlement starts to really become denser and intensified, has a devastating impact on Aboriginal people. And then particularly when we move into the late 19th and early 20th century, there's a lot of dispersing of Aboriginal people, a lot of movement into other areas. I mean, Oxley was under very specific instructions, not just to get a handle on the nature of the topography and the minerals and the flora, etc. He was actually under specific instructions to make some accurate and informed scientific observations of Aboriginal people. But he did see signs of their presence everywhere. He saw smoke in the distance. He saw campsites that had been abandoned. He saw the distinctive carved trees that the Wiradjuri made.
And I've tried to look at the landscape of how it may have been when Evans came across and where people may have been living. I know where all the streams are on the land.
So you've sketched what you feel it looked like 200 years ago.
Like it may have looked 200 years ago. Bathurst is in here. You go out to Sydney, out through a gap in the hills here.
Is that the Macquarie River there?
That's the Macquarie River at Wellington. This is a place where we stayed, camped down in behind this hill. And this is all cleared land now. And there's farm houses and whatever down through here. And it was a very special place. And all around here, there's just thousands and tens of thousands of artefacts.
Certainly when Oxley, when he got to Wellington, was a very significant site for him because that's where he encountered the Macquarie River. I think it was known and is known to have been a very, very important Aboriginal place. Shortly after when colonists began to arrive there, they actually found not only a lot of Aboriginal people and a lot of Aboriginal campsites, but they actually found a very large collection of carved trees. So I think it might have been a very important religious site. And a lot of those trees remained in existence until late in the 19th century.
Obviously, it was a meeting place, and I have found writings from 1829, which is after Macquarie, though, describing this area very, very, very clearly. And it has taken me about 8 or 9 years, really, to find exactly where it was and how it is, because it's not there, obviously, at all anymore.
Tim Miller's great skill is using form, colour and the sublime to evoke a perception of how the land and its inhabitants might have appeared to early 19th century explorers. Tim and his son camped in the areas he intended to paint. Following Oxley and Evans' compass readings, which proved to be exact.
And I went and stayed out on this hill, and Oxley made a diary entry around this area.
We had a very
extensive view to the north and east.
A beautiful range of hills. Stretching north and south, bounded at a distance of about 8 miles, with a fine, extensive valley before us. The animation of the whole scene was greatly enhanced by the smoke from native fires.
Enhanced by the smoke of native fires. The actual shapes of the land wouldn't have changed a lot. The vegetation has changed to some degree, but the same vegetation that was there is still there, even though diminished.
I think the smoke is very effective. I think just the plumes of smoke are more effective than if you'd drawn people there.
I feel that. Yeah, yeah.
Why do you feel it?
I put the plumes of smoke there because I haven't seen the people there, but I've seen the signs of the people being there. And it wasn't very long ago. And there's a lot of stories that have not been told.
I think there's always need to reflect on these sorts of aspects of our history. But certainly in looking at the bicentenary of Macquarie and what happened in the Macquarie era, the consideration of the opening of the West is very, very important, provided we look at it from a multifaceted point of view. The old hubris about the great expansion of the colony, it needs to be countered by understanding that there was essentially people already there who suffered very seriously from the arrival of Europeans. So as long as we look at it from many different directions and understand it as a complex story, then we can also begin to appreciate its greater importance.
In people's minds, people have their house in such and such a suburb or such and such a something, wherever, or on a farm or whatever. But I'm sure a lot of people sit down and think, well, what other family was living here 500 years ago? Who was here? How was life then?
Artist Tim Miller and historian David Andrew Roberts speaking there with producer Ros Bluett. And for more information, for photos and for a link to Tim's current exhibition, head to the Earshot website, abc.net.au/rn. You can find us on the drop-down program menu.